It's a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we're going to be opening up the mailbag, and we're going to talk about Justice Winslow's future with the team.
And we'll also talk about if the Heat should lean on Hassan Whiteside more in the final stretch of the season. Let's get to the show.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRag Sports, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the league at large for FanSided and FanRag Sports, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at TRomillo13.
Yesterday we did a mailbag question, but we had so many that we had to save them for today's show. So let's get right into it. We broke up one of Ming's questions because it was a two-parter. We did the first part about who the odd man out in the rotation might be on Monday. And here's the second part. Ming asks, do you guys think at this rate that the Heat will still try to extend Justice Winslow during the summer? Odds on an extension versus waive for Justice. So they're not going to waive him. That's not going to happen. He's on a rookie scale deal. There's no reason to release him. He will be up for an extension. He won't be a restricted free agent this season. He will be up for an extension. And Miami could sign him to an extension. So let's just get the numbers out of the way here. They have his bird rights. They don't necessarily have to worry about that until 2019. So if they give him an extension, his cap hit would remain around $3.4 million, right? It would be similar to the situation Josh Richardson is in this season, where Miami offered him an extension at the beginning of the season, a four-year extension, but they signed that extension, but his cap hit remained what his salary was this season, right? So it didn't impact the cap in any way, actually, this year. It will impact the cap next year, right, for about $12 million next season in Josh Richardson's situation. But for Winslow, even if they were to sign him to an extension at the beginning of next season, he will be eligible for that extension, as Ming points out. His cap hold would remain $3.4 million. So that's a key part in this when we talk about the Heat and their cap situation. They're already almost $20 million over the cap. So that's a key factor here in that they're able to lock up Winslow on that rookie scale extension while not necessarily impacting the cap sheet next season. So that's going to be key. The question is, do they want to do that? And that's going to be in the next 20 plus games. That's going to be something that they're going to have to consider.
Worst case scenario is that they simply don't extend him and let him enter restricted free agency in the summer of 2019. And he leaves the team. And for that, I mean, it's no sweat off Miami. They're going to be capped out at that point. So they're kind of limited as far as what they can do. There's also the possibility that Justice Winslow, as we've talked about for much of the season prior to the trade deadline, will be included in some kind of a package to either acquire a superstar or a whale of some kind. So there's always that possibility while he's under contract next year. Or if they try to extend him, what is the right amount that you'd be willing to pay a guy like Justice Winslow? I mean, he's bounced back from injury. So that question has been answered, I think, whether or not he was going to be an injury-prone player or anything like that. I think we can say that that's not the case. He had a bad second year. That's not the case in his third season, even though he did have an injury issue earlier in the year. But I wouldn't go so far as to attach the injury-prone label to a guy like Winslow. He's worked hard. He's done everything the team has asked him to do. He's kind of worked on his shot, and it's much improved this season. And they certainly trusted him to, have the ball in his hands and create offense for others. And I'm sure they love what he produces defensively. So I'm sure they hold him in high regard, but not necessarily to the point where you want to pay him a lot of money. So the question, I think, is how comfortable a guy like Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg is to offer a guy like Winslow a significant amount of money, not just for this season, for next season or the extension after next season, but beyond that.
Would you pay him as much as Josh Richardson even at this point? I mean,
no, I think he's more limited than that. Yeah.
He gave him a 4-year, $42 million extension, Richardson. Right. I'm with you. I don't think that Winslow's proven enough to even make that sort of money. And if that's the question, look, does Justice Winslow say, I'm going to bet on myself here then? Like, let's say Miami comes out and they say, we'll give you 4 years, $35 million, right? Which breaks out to a little bit less than $10 million a year. Right.
If he doesn't accept that, he's a fool. But, I don't think anybody's going to offer him that
much. But it's an option for him, right? Like, it's something we need to talk about, because sure. He might say, like, look, I my sophomore season was a wash. I missed my entire sophomore year, basically. My third season, I was jerked around into four different positions. Let's, look, if the Heat settle on him as our starting power forward here, that's going to help. You know, I think that Miami is as much at fault here as you know, Heat fans like to discuss if Justice Winslow is a bust or not. I think the Heat are just as much. I think the Heat have failed him in some ways of not finding the right role for him. I hope that they do in these next 20 plus games. I hope that they settle on just starting him at the four, for better or worse. But
here's an interesting comparison I want to bring up. Aaron Gordon in Orlando.
What about him?
He's entering restricted free agency this season. He's had a lot of the same issues as far as injuries are concerned. He lost some games in his sophomore year because of a broken jaw that he
had during summer league. But isn't he playing much better this year? Like, he's draining
his threes and stuff? Well, that's the thing, though. Okay. He was negotiating over the summer, and he didn't accept their extension offer, whatever that might have been. And I guess either it wasn't to his liking, or he figured he might as well just double down and see if whether or not he might be able to improve on his playing. And he's certainly shown that. So even though he's had some injury issues now, he's going to be somebody that they're going to seek in free agency. Like, other teams will make a lot of money or will offer a lot of money at Gordon in the hope that he'll sign elsewhere. So I'm curious to see what the market will dictate for a guy like Aaron, knowing that his three-point shot has improved. Now, that three-point shooting that he's demonstrated this year, that wasn't right. there last
That's
year.
New.
So we could expect another, you know, leap like that from Winslow that he made this season. Then all of a sudden he becomes too valuable, and the Heat might risk losing him for nothing, which is certainly a possibility. Now, there's enough depth, I think, so that you don't necessarily bemoan the loss of Winslow, but I think you've invested three and potentially a fourth year.
If he breaks out like Aaron Gordon does, they will want to re-sign him, right? Like, the Magic are going to do whatever they can to bring back Aaron Gordon, right? So
they'll match whatever offer.
So I love this comparison, because if Winslow, because you're right, like, there was no 3-point shot, but he was a really good defensive player. He was kind of in between positions. Orlando finally settled on
him. Yeah, Frank Vogel had him at the three last year. So, yeah, exactly. It's a weird thing.
So if Winslow, and he's starting at the four this year, right, Aaron Gordon? So if Winslow starts at the four and he breaks out maybe like Aaron Gordon does, look, if I'm Justice Winslow, I don't sign the extension, because we know it's not going to be – it's probably not going to be as much as Josh Richardson got signed for. I'm thinking it's going to be about a $40 million offer. And I think that the Heat are going to do that, because they just don't have any other options. They're going to offer him an extension. They have to. And I say that because they don't have draft picks and all the things that we've talked about before. They don't have draft picks. They don't really have young players. You can't let Winslow get away for nothing. And you've already put this much time into it, and you've locked this roster up. So you kind of have to do that, because you're not going to be able to get a young player with his potential in free agency, because they don't have cap space, and they have Winslow's bird rights. They can go over the cap to bring him back. So, but if I'm Justice Winslow, I don't sign that extension, because we know that it's not going to be a whole lot of money. And if he doesn't break out next year, that means that this Miami situation just hasn't been good for him, and that the Heat have failed him as a prospect. And if that's the case, if I'm Winslow, I don't want to be in Miami anymore. I want to go find a situation where they're going to find a role for me, and I'm going to thrive. I'm going to go try to find a situation like that. Sure, maybe you don't make as much money right away and you don't have that guarantee. But if you Justice Winslow will be 22 years old at the point where that happens, I'd leave, man, and I'd go find a better situation for me where long term I can carve out a career and more money in the long run. So this is something – it's going to be something interesting to watch.
Kind of like what Deion did?
Kind of like what Deion did, yeah. Yeah, just find a more optimal situation. Let's move on to this next one, because it's sort of related. Do you think – PJ writes in, do you think that Rodney Magruder makes Justice Winslow expendable? I don't see a single aspect of Winslow's game that Rodney can't do or hasn't shown us already. Winslow would be in the G League if drafted by another team. He's a bigger Briante Weber, if we're being honest. Whoa. Harsh criticism. You already know how I feel about this, right?
I think so.
I disagree. I mean, I so do. Okay. So the first part, does We don't need to necessarily debate. I don't see a single aspect of Winslow's game that Rodney Magruder can't or hasn't shown. Winslow's bigger. He's more athletic. He's a better defender than Rodney Magruder is. Rodney Magruder has just natural matchup issues at 6'4".
But that's the answer or the response to that point that PJ brings, is that he is, in all honesty, PJ, a much better defender than Magruder. Magruder tries his hardest, but look, we keep bringing up this stretch of games, but you know, in his rookie season, there was a really impressive showing from Winslow where he guarded Paul George, LeBron James, and James Harden on almost consecutive nights, and he held his own against all of them. That wasn't necessarily the case in his sophomore year, but you know, that was an injury-plagued season. For Magruder, the inverse happened where he did not show up. He's overmatched. Because guys will simply rise up over him and shoot, and he can't contend because he doesn't have the kind of athletic, explosive leaping ability where he can contest a shot like that. So he has to move his feet, stay in front of a scorer, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. So for bigger guards and forwards,
and Magruder was playing the three. He's the size of a shooting guard, and he'd be a good defensive shooting guard. But I think at best he's like an optimal role for him on a good team, on like a playoff team. He's maybe your 12th guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not listed at 6'4", and that's generous.
I mean, Winslow, he can't play the five. Justice Winslow can. He can't play the four. Justice Winslow's starting at a small ball handling four position, stretch four kind of guy, or small ball four kind of guy, I should say. Right. So do you think that we got to move on and get to the next mailbag question, but do you think that Rodney Magruder makes Winslow expendable? I think both of our answer is no at this point. It's good to have both of them. Those are both kind of good, hardworking defensive players that do some of those in-between things that we like. But by no means does Rodney Magruder make Winslow expendable.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to get to our next set of mailbag questions. But first, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On NBA, which will be revamping its format. In addition to hosting Locked On Heat on a daily basis, David and I will be hosting Locked On NBA every Tuesday. It will be a digestible show, so just 20 to 30 minutes, and we'll be delivering the most important news, scores, and storylines of the day.
You're already tuning into Locked On Heat for your daily briefing on all things related to Miami, but now Locked On NBA is going to be your first stop for the most important headlines and analysis from around the NBA. We'll be breaking down the top games and top news and notes, so just make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and leave us a review on iTunes.
We are going to be talking about Hassan Whiteside later, which I know a lot of our listeners are looking forward to. But we're going to put that off for the third segment. So we're going to take some different mailbag questions here. Chris asks, I know that this is definitely getting ahead of ourselves here, but along the same lines as the power rotation logjam, do you think that the Heat have to do something to clear it up? I mean keeping Wayne Ellington when you have Tyler, Josh Richardson, Rodney Magruder, Justice Winslow, Dwayne Wade, and Deion Waiters, who all would fight for that same time, seems unlikely. Unless you move some of them to clear the deck. Luckily, the Heat won't have to make this decision until the offseason, but I see it as a huge problem. It's a really interesting question. And look, it's something that I've been giving a lot of thought about recently. When Deion Waiters comes back, he is going to have to play a role in this team. Wayne Ellington is a free agent this season. But none of these guys that we talked to, none of these guys listed here replace the type of shooting that Wayne Ellington brings. I do think that the Heat are going to try to find a way to bring Wayne Ellington back again. I think that's going to be part of their priorities this offseason, whether it's trading one of these guys or trading one of these front court players to clear enough cap space to bring back Ellington. I think that's going to be, you know, they're going to have his early bird rights. I think that's going to be a priority for them. So that's what I would bet on, one of these guys getting dealt. And I don't know who it is. Because it's not going to be Josh Richardson, unless the Heat are packaging Richardson with another player to make a move for an all-star. And that could be an option here. You know, Kristen even mentioned Goran Dragic. He's a starting point guard, and that's going to take up 30 minutes a game. So, look, like Chris is getting ahead of himself here, but it's something that, you know, if you're Miami, if you're Pat Riley, you're Eric Spoelstra, and you're kind of watching the rest of the season play out, part of that, like, whatever happens in this final stretch is going to matter a lot when it comes to the summer, and they have to evaluate where they're at on this roster. You know,
I saw the headline from a piece in All You Can Heat. Unfortunately, I never got a chance to read it, about whether or not the lack of a clearly defined role is hurting Miami's offense. And like I said, I didn't get a chance to read the article in depth, so I don't know what the argument might have been. But it's an interesting point, especially in context of this question, because, you know, you've got all these guys that are expected to chip in here and there. Their minutes kind of fluctuate depending on an injury, like we've seen with Deion. Somebody has to step up or somebody has to take a significant step back. So the point, I think, is, you know, nobody on this team, I think maybe with the exception of Whiteside and Goran Dragic, are replaceable. Like, those are the only two guys I think that can that do what they do specifically better than anybody else. And now, you know, even with a guy like Whiteside, who's limited in many regards, that's a challenge. But you know, a guy like Goran, he's the team starting point guard, and there's nobody else who can handle that role other than him. So everybody else kind of fits this role where they have, like, you know, they're competing for these minutes, and it's definitely a difficult answer as far as, you know, Chris's question. I don't know. You know, somebody obviously has to be moved.
Yeah.
But I think it's also incumbent upon the players to make the most of their opportunities. Like, if you're getting 10 minutes a game, and look, this is a problem with Deion. He didn't make the most of whatever opportunities he had at the start of the season. Unfortunately, injuries cut that season short. But he wasn't really doing enough to kind of justify the payday that he collected over the summer. And so that's going to fall on everybody else. I think a guy like Ellington, to your point, probably has made the most of his opportunities. And that's the kind of guy that Miami likes to reward, is if you make the most. Look, that's why Tyler got the payday he did a couple of seasons ago. That's why Josh Richardson has gotten the payday. Everybody has to make the most of those opportunities. And a guy like Winslow, who maybe hasn't, Deion, who maybe hasn't, like Wade, if he wants to play, he's got a spot here regardless, right? So it's up to everybody else to kind of make the most of those limited opportunities.
And I think, you know, the Spoelstra has been playing three guard lineups basically all season long. So that's one way. Look, ideally, you know, the Heat find a small forward, like an actual small forward, because as much as Josh Richardson's basically been the starting small forward all year, but he's a two guard, right? And he's sort of just been forced into this three spot. But look, that might be that is a way to just get minutes for everybody. I mean, if Richardson and Wayne Ellington are basically your small forwards, and Magruder are basically your small forwards, you play Justice Winslow, who Chris lists here. We've talked about him as basically a backup point guard. But if you start playing Justice Winslow at the four, then he's in your power rotation now. He doesn't factor into your backcourt. So that's one way. And then, you know, you play, like I said, Richardson, Ellington, and Magruder as like your threes, with Magruder probably getting the fewest minutes out of that group. And then you've got Dragic, Waiters, Tyler Johnson, and Dwayne Wade as kind of your ones and twos, right? And that's one way to do it. It's just to play three guards at a time. Even if it's not ideal, that's one way to get all these guys playing time.
What is Magruder's contract situation? Isn't he a free agent this summer?
Next summer.
Next? Oh, he's got another year left on his deal?
Yeah, but it's non-guaranteed. So
he's waived next summer and no cost to Miami?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's a $1.5 million deal, yeah, non-guaranteed. So I don't see that happening unless they have to really clear the decks to try to get to bring back Wayne Ellington. Like, maybe that's a situation. I think they'd prefer to keep Magruder, but you never know. I mean, non-guaranteed, it's an option for them.
Yeah.
But I do think I think they'd like to trade Deion probably. That's not going to work. I don't think that's going to happen coming off of an injury. Can you trade Tyler when his salary is about to balloon to $19 million? Probably not. So I think they're going to be stuck here. You know, if there's anything that they're going to do here, it's Goran Dragic might be the only guy that they could trade. And like you said, like, there's nobody that can replace his role. So maybe you try to package a couple of these guys together and upgrade at one of those positions. But easier said than done, right? That depends on who's even available in the trade market.
I think Kawhi Leonard might be on the market.
Hey, not a bad problem. Like, Goran Dragic would fit in nicely in San Antonio. Let's get to this next question. Julie writes in, can you see the Heat returning to last year's drive and kick offense because of Miami's offensive struggles this year? What do you think?
I think it's too late in the process. Like, you can't scrap everything, and you're not going to incorporate those wrinkles into the – I mean, you'll see parts of that. Obviously, that's still a part of their offense. I think it's just not going to be the bulk of what they do. And I don't see it happening either. I think they're comfortable controlling the pace and being a low scoring team and hoping that, and relying on their defense to save them. Unfortunately, it just hasn't on some more than one occasion.
I agree. They're not. It's too late in the process. You might see a little bit of that come back just because of Dwayne Wade and the way he plays. Like, you might see just in that second unit, especially if Olynyk is playing in the second unit with him, you might just see a little bit more of that drive and kick, even if – it's a result of some dribble handoffs from the elbow and stuff like that. You just might see more of that, of just getting of a guard getting to the rim and kicking out to open shooters. And you might see more of that just with Tyler Johnson seemingly being more healthy than he was earlier in the season. If he's getting to the rim on a more consistent basis, he's going to just have opportunities to kick out to open teammates. But it's going to still be that perimeter based off ball movement, dribble handoff type offense that we're seeing. All right, next, we're going to talk about some questions in regards to Hassan Whiteside. But before we move on, let's go to iTunes and see if we have any new reviews. David, do we?
Well, we put the call out to our listeners and they responded. Now, we're still looking for some reviews. We're up at 87 right now. We're still hoping to reach the 100 mark before the end of the month. So please log in whenever you can and leave us a review. But we've got a great one here from Big Town Clown, who writes, "Awesome Miami Heat podcast. This podcast is great for both casual and hardcore fans of the Heat. The hosts have a lot of great points, and their chemistry makes the show quite enjoyable. I highly recommend this podcast to anyone even remotely interested in the Heat. Here's to hoping Justice Winslow becomes more than a poor man's Iguodala."
I'll take a poor man's Iguodala. Iguodala might be a Hall of Famer. I'll take that.
It's a question around basketball Twitter, isn't it?
What was his name? Big Town Clown?
Big Town Clown, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Big Town Clown. iTunes reviews are a great way to support the podcast. It increases our ranking. It helps other Heat fans discover the show, so we do appreciate it. Leave us a 5-star review like Big Town Clown, and you can get a shout-out on the next episode. Last mailbag question comes from Linson. He writes in, "This week's slate of games has shown me that I'm correct, and I want you guys to see it as well. The fact that if we feed Hassan Whiteside, he gets engaged, and we have a much higher propensity to win. Or do you have something else to say after a 1-point loss and a 20-something point win?" He's talking about the New Orleans and the Memphis games. Sure. "Bam is a great player, but he's still a rookie and in truth only 6'9", which in the NBA is damn near a wing. We need the size in the post until we actually have a star. Accept it. I think I'm right as hell, but what do you think?" Well, Linson, I don't think that one email to us is going to change our minds on Hassan Whiteside. But look, so Linson, just for background, David, I don't think I told you this. He sent us 3 separate emails about Hassan Whiteside last week, but we didn't get to our mailbag last week. So, this was the third in that trio of Hassan Whiteside, pro Whiteside emails. So Linson's a big fan of Whiteside, and look, I get it, but, he was in at the end of those games. I mean, he did foul out against New Orleans, but I can't get there, man. But I've given this a lot of thought, and I'm looking, and I was watching those games thinking about Linson's email here, and I was just thinking, like, what if the Heat did just completely lean in? One of Linson's other emails was like, you've got to see what you got with Whiteside. You've got to dedicate what you're doing to Hassan Whiteside, because if you can't, if you determine that you can't win with Whiteside, then you trade him. But you can't basically not play him at the end of games and just sort of half-ass Hassan Whiteside's role and then enter summer not really knowing. My argument to that, David, would be, well, it's been 3 years and there's reasons he's not playing at the end of games. It's not that Miami's trying to find something. It's not that Miami's not invested in Whiteside. I think they have been completely invested in Whiteside over the last 3 years. And when you're trying to win games, there's just certain things he can't do to help you do that.
And he did play against New Orleans at the end of the game.
He did. And he mentioned, and look, they won. They almost beat New Orleans, right? Who I think is just a better team than Miami at this point. They just have, right? Like, they're in the Western Conference or in the playoff chase. Like, they lost to Marcus Cousins, but they're still playing pretty well. And then they beat Memphis, which is a bad team. But
I think the difference was when Anthony Davis, like, mm-hmm. for people that still blow off his game and don't think of him as a superstar or, you know, label him as oft injured or anything like that. He's amazing. Like, the things that he was doing obliterated Miami. Like, they had no answer for it. James Johnson, Whiteside, nobody could stop what he was doing. And it was, it was problematic. That last play of the game was on a pick and roll they ran where Adebayo was completely out of sorts and he didn't switch over onto Jrue Holiday. I mean, that was just,
I tweeted this during
Heat's mismatch bombs.
I tweeted during the game. I was like, I'm glad Heat fans are getting a chance to see what actually, like, what dominant means for a big man, because I think that word dominant gets thrown around with Whiteside like a lot in our mailbags, and not just from Linson here, but we've seen it over the last 3 years. Like, Whiteside can dominate. I've never seen Whiteside dominate. I've, like, not to the way Anthony Davis
did. Not like this.
That is dominant. That is win you a game dominant. And Whiteside has maybe had three games. I could think of like the triple double with blocks against Chicago 2 years ago.
And how much of that felt like empty calories where he was just getting blocks against inferior opponents?
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't know that he was necessarily altering shots. I mean, he was getting those blocks. And yeah, I mean,
he dominated that game, like on both ends. Like, that was, yeah, credit, that was, but like,
yes.
He's not doing what Anthony Davis does, especially now. And I think specifically with Whiteside, look, he's had a couple of knee injuries that's hurt him. He doesn't have the hands that he once had.
Yeah.
You know, like I think those multiple hand injuries have hurt him a little bit. I mean, there was a time where he was catching blocks, right? He doesn't do that anymore. But, you know, I don't think that you can rely on Whiteside. I think there's too much that he's just too inconsistent. And I just look, yeah, if you want to feed him in the post and if he's playing well and he's feeling it, then yeah, by all means feed him in the post. I have no problem with that, but just, he can't do it for a whole game. He's not shown that consistency to be able to do it from quarter.
He's not Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
You can't dump it into him 30 times a game and expect 40-point outings. You throw the ball into Whiteside, he's going to get double teamed. He's going to get sent to the line.
That's okay.
He's not even Dwight Howard.
There's three centers in the NBA right now, maybe, and two who's done it consistently. Because I was going to throw Joel Embiid in there, but he doesn't play most games. Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Davis. Those are probably the two centers where you could just dump it in and just like, or dump it out, and they're, you know, because they can shoot threes, both of them. Where you could just say, go be our offense tonight. You know, like even.
Who was it? I'm sorry, I saw Cat, and who else was it?
Davis, Anthony Davis. Like, I wouldn't even put Jokic in there because that's not his mindset. It's not necessarily his mentality to score a bunch of points. But, like, those guys could hang, like, 30-plus on you on any given night.
And then they're both perimeter, right. I mean, based also. They've got the kind of versatility that Whiteside does not, which is another reason why you can't just go to him.
So, look, Wade did mention, I believe, over the weekend that they're going to need more from their bigs over this final stretch. Yes. But – that was the headline on a lot of the reporters' articles. But when you read the story, he was basically saying, like, we need more of them on pick and rolls. And that's true, which is just as much the guard as it is the big, right? Like, even if the big ends up finishing with a dunk, it's just as much as a guard to set that up. So that's not dumping it into the post and just letting Whiteside go to work. That is getting him in on pick and rolls and stuff like that, which I've argued which should be a bigger part of Miami's offense. But the problem with Whiteside is that he doesn't run to the rim hard. Like, he doesn't do – He looks like he should be a great finisher in pick and rolls, but he doesn't. He's not a good finisher in pick and rolls. He tends to kind of – he sets a lousy screen, like does this half-ass dive to the rim and then turns around and tries to get a post up instead of just going all the way. You know, Bam Adebayo, on the other hand, does go all the way. I'm hoping that, again, adding Dwayne Wade starts to help that. He does have that chemistry with Whiteside, and so maybe we'll see more of those lobs. We've already seen more of those lobs, and we've seen more of those lobs with Bam Adebayo as well. And Wade mentioned both of their names, right? Whiteside and Bam. And that was an important part of that quote as well. So that's going to be a bigger part of the offense, I think, going forward. But by no means do I think Whiteside needs to be the number one option on offense. I think it still needs to be what it is, which is the ball movement heavy, try to find the mismatch where it is, and just try to get open shots where you can. I don't think that the answer to this is just to dump it into Whiteside in the post, you know? So...
agreed. Sorry, Linson. But we appreciate the question, and we appreciate the support of all of our Heat players and of our show.
And look, it's a good point, right? Like, the Heat do need to determine what Whiteside's future is. And if part of that is maybe expanding his role here and there, trying to figure out what he can and can't do, which they have been doing for the last three years, that is part of what they're doing. I mean, they have done that, to Linson's point, and they're going to have to determine what Whiteside is this summer and where they can go with him. Yeah. Well, that was our last mailbag question. That's all we have for today. We will be back tomorrow with a recap of Miami's game against the Philadelphia 76ers. Big game tonight. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. You can tweet your questions and comments for our recap tonight by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Do that on Twitter. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.